Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you all for assembling here in what is called a Vyasa Puja celebration. I'm a bit surprised to be here myself because there was talk of it, but it wasn't really fixed. It wasn't partially fixed, it wasn't fixed in any way whatsoever until about 4 days ago. Well, there was talk of it prior to that. Thank you for all the arrangements. I saw devotees were up throughout the night putting flowers up, still going on. Thanks to the flower bringers coming late, right? They were supposed to come in the morning, were they? Congratulations on being awake, Gaur Bhagavan, after being up all night. One of them who was up all night putting the flowers. You have somewhat of an excuse for falling asleep in the class. Better if you don't. I'll try and make it exciting so you don't fall asleep in the class. I'm not supposed to do things like that. All right, sorry. Sorry, shouldn't do that. Sorry also to those of you who may be seeing online who feel, why wasn't I invited? Well, one reason was because we weren't sure and then just at the last minute called a few. And also there's space restrictions and COVID restrictions. We didn't even know, actually, even up to a couple of days ago, if the whole thing might just be stopped because we're under Stalin's rule here. Really? Stalin is the name of the chief minister of Tamil Nadu. And he doesn't like religion. Sorry, should I say sorry also? I'm sorry they're coming and praising me and worshiping me and all this. There is a way of thinking among followers of Srila Prabhupada that only Srila Prabhupada should be glorified, and if any of his disciples are glorified, that's taking away from Prabhupada. We should only glorify Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada himself said, I don't know, it's just in my mind the quote, so I won't be exact, but he said that my pleasure will be in when my disciples are glorified all over the world. And this glorification, which you're going to do today, of my humble self, I say humble in the sense not of an attitude, but of it also means someone who's very small. That is also glorification of Srila Prabhupada. And if Srila Prabhupada's disciples are glorified all over the world, then that's glorification of Srila Prabhupada. Just like, for instance, here in South India, just north a little bit, in the Telugu-speaking area, the most famous sadhu alive at the present time, who's Telugu, is who? Chinnajiya Swami, did I hear? Yeah. So, he's well known. Is his being well known contributing to the glory of Ramanuja or taking away from it? Obviously, it's contributing to it. Probably, he is better known than Ramanuja himself. It's not his intent. He does intend to glorify Ramanuja. He's making a huge statue of him, which I'm not so sure about because having an open-air statue is not traditional. But by his activities and his being well-known and his being respected, as he should be, although he does have some differences with the Gaudiya Sampradaya, but that's peripheral. His rise to prominence has contributed to the glories of Ramanuja, not detracted from them. If we think of, we all, at least, maybe not all of us, we're all very well aware of Sri Vishveshwar Tirtha. Of, you also know, is it? No, in North India they don't know. But he was 100, more than 100 years old, wasn't it? He died about, 3 years ago, passed away. He was highly respected, and properly, for being, not just because he was old and he was a sannyasi, but as a superlative sadhu in the Madhva Sampradaya. So he added to the glories of Madhvacharya by being what he was. Even here in Tamil Nadu, we don't have such a towering figure in the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya here, but until fairly recently, in the Smarta Sampradaya, or Mayavad Sampradaya, Shankara Sampradaya, there was Chandrasekharendran, who was known as Shankaracharya, but by his activities, and he was also rightly glorified and rightly respected for being a great sadhu, even though he's a Mayavadi, but he was a great sadhu. Can't deny, he was absolutely undeniable, he was a great sadhu. So certainly he added to the prestige of the Shankara Sampradaya. We see that in the first canto of Bhagavatam, that when Parikshit was born and his future was predicted by astrologers, it was he will increase the glory of the line of the Kurus, of the Pandavas, which already, the Pandavas, they, how could you increase the glory with the Pandavas, such massive personalities? But Parikshit will even increase it further. So not everyone will increase to that extent. Not everyone who's going to be carrying the legacy of Srila Prabhupada is going to be such a powerful sadhu or ideal sadhu, but the glorification is there as carrying the teachings and the desires of Srila Prabhupada in the next generation. And as Srila Prabhupada often used to say, to his disciples, you will have to do so next. And I have to say to you, you have to do so next. You are the next generation. The child today is the parent tomorrow. The disciple today is the guru tomorrow. The child, when becomes a parent, never ceases to be the child of the parent. The disciple never ceases to be the disciple as he accepts disciples himself. You're particularly coming and glorifying me because you're my disciples, and there are so many disciples of Srila Prabhupada who are increasing the family line, the family of devotees in Krishna consciousness all over the world. They're all a little different, just like there may be brothers in a family. Nowadays, most people probably don't have brothers, or if they do, they just have one. They don't have brothers. To have brothers is unusual. To have a brother is not so common. To have brothers, that means more than one brother, that's unusual. But in normal human life, which was ceased to exist about 50 years ago or so, people had large families, and you'd have brothers, and they'd all be different. But they're all part of the same family, and they all represent the father, if they're worthy sons. And that was a very important part of actually any society, in any traditional society, and especially in Vedic society, the family tradition that Arjuna was afraid of, is it not? Kula Dharma Sanatana. There's another Kula Dharma Sanatana. The eternal family tradition, or perpetuate the family tradition should be perpetuated. And who does that is a worthy son. Now, the grandfather may be a very highly respected person, a very famous person. The son may not come to that, he may not be on that level, but if he's a worthy son, he follows what he should, does the basic things, and naturally the son, his sons, they respect him as a father, as they should do. And they look up to their grandfather, or maybe great-great-grandfather. This, was it? Jambavan Prabhu in America, you remember him. Maybe some of you do. He told me that his wife is a direct descendant of General Custer, who's famous in America for losing a battle or something. I think he was a famous American general. And so if you're born in that family, you're respected, especially if you enter the military. It's like a sign of honor. And they have that also probably in America. They have that military families, generation after generation, and you're expected to join the army or the air force or the navy and keep up the family tradition. Even in Mlecha culture, there's some idea of family honor. And you're expected to sacrifice and for a higher cause. So in Krishna consciousness also, the family tradition is going on. That should be perpetuated. Recently, I gave a talk, which was put on YouTube. Actually, they all are nowadays, pretty much formal talks. So I called it, Thanks to My Fans in quotation marks. And in the comments section, someone made a comment. Someone, the name is Radhika. What do you think the surname will be? Be Radhika Gupta Solanki, something like that. Or maybe if you're in Tamil Nadu, you don't have a surname. It was Radhika Schwartz. Which caste is that? It's not Indian, it's a Jewish name. So I thought, well, that's good. Srila Prabhupada's making Radhikas out of the Jewish people, Muslim people. Srila Prabhupada's really spreading his family all over the world. I don't know if she was initiated in China. I don't know who she is exactly, but she's changed her name, or was given that name at birth. I don't know, but it's nice to see, isn't it? Radhika Schwartz. Anyway, she made the comment that instead of, it was a little bit needling, that instead of saying fans, you could say family. Yeah, that would be nice. But of course, to be a member of there's a difference between being a fan and a member of a family. Just like, let me see, well, they're cricket fans. So, Virat Kohli, he has fans and he has family. And it's not exactly it's definitely not the same thing. To be a family member means to come quite close and to be accepted. And there are responsibilities also. To be in a family means you... To be a fan means we maybe get a feeling like we're all here together, we're fans. But to be in a family, there's more than good feeling. There's responsibility in the family. Actually, sadhus, which doesn't necessarily mean people dressed in this color cloth, but a sadhu, he should see like that. The natural consequence of the samatha, equalness to all. What's the word? Equanimity. Equanimity is in Bhagavad Gita again and again and again. We find this. In all circumstances, one's consciousness remains the same. And there are two factors to this. There's one factor when one's yasmin stita nadu kena gurunapi vichalyate. In all circumstances, one remains in samadhi. He's not disturbed by sukh or by dukh. He remains steady-minded in all circumstances. Another factor is seeing all living beings as equal. And that, again, we get again and again. Samasarveshu bhuteshu. Vidyavinaya sampanne brahmane gavihasa. So the natural consequence of this is vasudhaiva kutumbakam. One sees all the world as one's family. Because being in a family materially means I am nija paro veti. This is my family and that's you. It's our group and you are outside. So being in a family, there's a sense of protection and togetherness, but it's also a sense of separateness. But this vasudhaiva kutumbakam, we see the whole world as family. That is, I am nija paro veti chetasa, what is it? Manyase ganana. Laghu chetasa. Someone who's small-minded, they think in terms of I, me, and mine. They're not totally selfish, but it's extended selfishness. Total selfishness is called being a psychopath. And being normal is to be considered when your psychopathy is extended somewhat. And it's not total psychopathy, it's not just me, 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 and me, but it's me and mine, and my family, my country. That's considered good. It's good to be Indian and not like Pakistan. It's good to be Tamil and not like all those nasty North Indians, like you. What are you doing down here in Tamil Nadu? All those Modi voters, we don't like them. So that consciousness is actually, it wasn't there previously, but it's been put in, it's been injected into, for political reasons, someone wants to get power. It's a long story. You don't know so much about it. Here in South, we know more about it. Deliberately divide and rule. Then I could go on talking about casteism and anyway, let's not talk about that. So then what is the symptom of, what is that? Udara, what is it? Udara chetasa yastu, udara charitanani, udara charitanam hi vasudhaiva kutumbakam. One who has broad, open heart, or udara, Srila Prabhupada quotes that. He translates that sometimes as liberal. Although the word liberal nowadays often has connotations which not what Srila Prabhupada intended. So anyway, one who is very open-hearted, he doesn't think in terms of I, me, and mine, then he accepts the whole world as his family. That we at least used to have in ISKCON, that we'd meet devotees from different parts of the world who we never met before, and we immediately feel that bond because we're all under Srila Prabhupada. We all have the same mission, the same purpose. And why I said fans, in that, why I called, why I was speaking of fans, and I put it in quotation marks, is because the YouTube automatically generated message which came to me, which I read out, said, you have so many fans. So I said it a bit sarcastically, because we're not out to get fans. If we're out to get fans, then we can't be, then we can't represent Srila Prabhupada or the parampara. It's not a matter of popularity or trying to become popular, but that automatically comes. That is natural. That relationship between guru and disciple is like that between father and children. The mother is the Veda. In the past, the guru-disciple relationship, it seems to have been much more straightforward in the present time, because in Kali Yuga, things get messed up more and more. In every age, things get messed up gradually, but it's like, we could say, like in a motor car, which is built with planned obsolescence. That in the beginning, one or a laptop. In the beginning, it works nicely. Then after some time, it's little things start to go wrong, and then everything starts to go wrong. The rate of going wrongness increases until it becomes useless, and you have to throw it all out. So it's like that also. In Satya Yoga, things are pretty nice, apart from sometimes Hiranyakashipu pumps his head in the door. Then Treta Yoga, yeah, things are pretty nice, except you get Ravana and others. Everything's wonderful. The only problem is Ravana. There are many Ravanas in Tamil Nadu, right? There's probably more than one Stalin also. But this Karunanidhi used to give people, he was quite fond of giving people the name. Because they would, just like people used to go to their gurus and ask, what shall we call our child? So they asked Karunanidhi, Ravana. He used to give that in Katpadi, where he used to have, was it Gandhinaga in Vellore? We had a house rented there. Opposite is the N. Ravanan is on the door. That's his name. A nice man. He was helpful to us. Had that name. In Kali Yuga, things degenerate. Just like with a car or a laptop, things start to go wrong more and more and more, and it gets more and more difficult to work with. So previously, the guru-disciple relationship was fairly straightforward. It's understood what everyone's position is, what everyone has to do, but it's getting more and more messed up by bogus gurus, bogus philosophies, and in the West, when it goes to the West, there's really a long way from any Vedic culture. We can say even that's often said about the Shankara Sampradaya, that, well, I say it fairly often, is that he brought back the Vedic culture. So definitely you have the guru-disciple relationship is there. that core aspect of Vedic culture. Vedic culture, what it's meant for, is not just some culture that you, instead of wearing blue jeans, you wear dhotis and saris. It's not just some arbitrary culture, but it has an aim. Vedaischa sarvairahameva vedyaha. The aim is Krishna. So the aim is spiritual realization. And so that guru-disciple relationship is a cornerstone of the Vedic culture. It's not by choice. It's not optional. It's not optional. If one, in Vedic culture, one without a guru is just like an animal. Because jnanena hina pashubhya naranam, without knowledge, one is simply, a human is an animal. You may say, well, even the animals have knowledge. The animals know how to build their nests and how to fly here and there, the birds. But knowledge in this context means tadvijnanartham sagurum eva abhigacchet. One should go to a guru for that knowledge, which you cannot get in animal life. That knowledge of how to come out of the cycle of birth and death. For that, one has to go to a guru. So it's a cornerstone of Vedic culture, guru-disciple relationship. But that culture is breaking down according to the pristine standards. Hardly anyone nowadays is fit to be a guru or a disciple. Still, there is, still it's going on. Still we find, just like we say, Madhva Sampradaya, Shankara Sampradaya. Well, it is after Chandrasekharendra, I don't know, but it can come up again. Because the basic understanding and structure is there. It's not that every guru is in the Madhva Sampradaya is going to be on the level of Vishveshwa Tirtha. And before, he was considered a hugely great scholar. Who was that? He passed the Achyutananda and Yashodananda and went to visit. He was very favorable, actually. And that was, there's a photo of him with Yashodananda and Achyutananda. Do you know his name? I just can't remember. Vidyamanya Tirtha. Yeah, he was hugely very deep scholar. So not everyone, and of course, to say he's a good scholar in the Madhva Sampradaya, I mean, even the average Madhva pundit is way ahead of 99.9% of ISKCON devotees. So not just great scholar, but great sadhu. So it's not that everyone's going to be like that, but the culture is in place and it goes on so that others can come up. We see in our parampara, sometimes people question that, well, there seems to be a gap in time between Baladev Vidyabhushan and Jagannath Das Babaji. How can you put one after the other? There were gurus there. But they may not have made such an outstanding contribution to the parampara that they are particularly remembered. There were gurus. And now they say, well, after Prabhupada, there can be no more gurus because no one's on that level. It's ridiculous. Everyone in the Ramanuja Sampradaya is going to be on the level of Ramanuja. No one's on the level of Ramanuja. Does that mean that there's no, then just Ramanuja initiates everyone by imagination? It's ridiculous. And there's great personalities, no doubt, in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. And up to the present day, there are great personalities in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. We wouldn't say on the level of Ramanuja or Yamuna Acharya or Vedanta Deshika, not that, but the very fact that they're solid devotees, they're great personalities. Why should you deny? But But at the present time, yeah, it's a matter of doubt. Who can be a guru? At least the guru should represent Srila Prabhupada, who represents all the previous acharyas. The standard prescription is given. Achinoti yashastrani. What is the next line? Achinoti yashastrani acharis tapyatyapi swayam acharate yasmad acharyas tena kirtitaha. Or sometimes it's given differently a little. But anyway, the point is, one who knows Shastra. What do you mean knows Shastra? Do I know Shastra like Vidya Amanya Tirtha? No. I don't, but you know this much? Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. You know that? Well, I can learn. I can read the book and learn it myself. But then the child may also think, I don't need to go to school. I don't need a teacher. I don't need a father. I can learn it all myself. But maybe you can learn some things from books, but you also need someone to guide along the way. And also recognize that the father and mother gave me birth. You may say, I don't need a father and mother. You recognize at least they gave you birth. So someone may say, well, I just came to Krishna consciousness by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. I can be a disciple directly of Prabhupada, but no one trained. Did no one tell you to put your hand in your bead bag and showed you how to do it and showed you how to put on tilak and all these things? They're also gurus. Can't deny that. Or shouldn't deny it. I just saw some video of the founder acharya of the Ritvik Sampradaya in sitting on a hill. So his story of how he came to Krishna consciousness, I read Prabhupada's books, and that's as far as it went. He didn't say, I met devotees, they trained me, they showed me. He didn't mention that at all. He didn't mention that he was initiated by Jayapataka Maharaj. So there's a lack of gratefulness there. Anyway, usually we think a lot. The devotees ask, who's a proper guru? How can you know who's a proper guru? Well, there's another way of looking at it. Who's a proper disciple? We should think how I can be a proper disciple and pray to Krishna. And then Krishna will arrange, if we're sincere, that we get a proper guru. So the qualifications of acharyas are mentioned in shastras. And the qualifications of disciples are also given. And guess what? They're pretty much the same. There's not that much difference. Just like mother lion and baby lion. There's a difference, but they're pretty much it's the same jati. It's the same species. It's not that much different. One has to be pure, or at least intending to be pure. If we see the qualification, I'm going to speak on the qualifications of disciples now. In a series of talks on guru issues. So I spoke on the qualifications of acharyas. So I'll speak on the qualifications of disciples as given in Shastra. I'll read from Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 10. The disciple must have the following qualifications. He must give up interest in the material bodily conception. Yeah, there's no meaning to being a disciple in the spiritual sense. You can be a musical instrument disciple, a dance disciple, or thief disciple. There are also paramparas of thieves with gurus. Vedic culture. You can be a weapons disciple. Go to the Brahmin and learn, just like the Pandavas and the Kauravas. They went to Drona. That was arranged. They were sent. Bhishma sent. You go, learn. But to be a spiritual disciple, one must give up the material bodily conception. At least be prepared to give it up. The disciple must give up material lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. And then everyone's ruled out. Is it? Everyone's ruled out. But then you may think, if you give up material lust, greed, and all these things, then what do you need to be a disciple for? You're already there. You're already perfect. So it means that one must have at least the intention to give that up. And one shouldn't be grossly lusty, greedy, and so on. There has to be some self-control and some level of advancement, maybe from a previous life. And someone who is excessively lusty, greedy, and envious, and they're not going to become a disciple anyway. They're not going to be interested in spiritual advancement. But some people with ulterior motives might approach a spiritual guru. So the gurus also have to be on the lookout to see that someone's not approaching me with ulterior motives. The disciple, should be interested only in understanding the science of God. That should be the reason for coming to a guru, not because in this area, everyone gets initiated by such and such guru, so you should also get initiated by such and such a guru. Or this guru, whatever, he has the most disciples, or this guru has the nicest smile. But tadvijnanartham sagurum eva abhigacchet. For that knowledge is the knowledge that often we find in Shastra the word tat, or something like this. Tat, what does it refer to? For that person. And then you have to see before that. When one has come to the preliminary understanding that everything in this world is useless and simply causes suffering, then one should go to a guru. So one should have that. One should go to a guru for understanding the absolute truth, that which is beyond birth and death. One should be interested only in understanding the science of God, and he should be ready to consider all points in this matter. Don't think, I'm going to walk into the guru. It's like drive-in McDonald's. You go in and you drive out. Drive in, drive out. Okay, go to the guru, get initiation, boom, I'm there, got it. You have to be prepared to do the work, take time, understand. He should no longer think, I am this body, or this thing belongs to me. I am nija paroveti. I am nija. This is mine. Aham mameti. Shouldn't think like this. One must love the spiritual master with unflinching faith. Now, that's stated in the imperative, but it's not something that can be legislated. It's not just by injunction. You must love your guru. One must understand, at least understand that it's a relationship of love based on the center of love, who is Krishna. But it's not something that can be forced. But the basic attitude is that one should serve with such a mentality. Dasavan acharan nicho. Guru Sudhira Sohrida. This is stated especially for the brahmacharis. But it's for all disciples that one should serve the Guru in the mood of a servant, or das is sometimes translated as slave. I don't think there's any different word in Sanskrit. Is there slave? How would you say slave? Das. Well, maybe the whole concept of slavery isn't there anyway in the Vedic culture. You don't, there's in Hindi, there's no word. Gulam, that's an Urdu word. But the whole concept of being a servant is very different from the concept in the English language also. Just like we say Krishna Seva. So when we say Seva, it's understood, it's done a sense of dharma, selflessly, but service, the English word means you do service, you get paid for it. And that's come now in India also. I'm doing service. It used to be, I remember in the 1970s, people say, I'm doing service. And it means they're in a job, but they have the sense of, I'm supposed to do service. It is a sense of sacredness with that also. Because it's all dharma, it's all connected, everything in the, nothing separate from it. But then this idea of getting paid for service, then it's not really service at all. It's a business deal. You do this, you get that. You don't do it, you don't get it. But the idea of service is one should serve selflessly. And not think, what will I get? But at the same time, confident that by the grace of Guru, one will get everything. Jai Prashade Pure Sarva Asha. All one's desires will be fulfilled by the grace of the Guru. One has that faith. And then one has to see the Guru is connected with Krishna. Krishna's mercy will flow through that. We say the mercy of the Guru. Mercy of the Guru means the mercy of Krishna. Krishna is the ocean of mercy. The Guru is raining mercy, just like the clouds collect water from the ocean. The Guru rains his mercy, but that mercy is taken from the ocean of mercy, Krishna. But it comes, there's a method for delivering that mercy, which is arranged by Krishna. Just like Krishna arranges, there's a method for distributing water all over the world. Krishna's method. You see, before all this science and this and that, it was understood in the Vedic culture. Otherwise, how do we sing? Sangsara dava nalalutalog. We know. It's the clouds are evaporating the water from the ocean and raining it down here and there. So the Guru showers the mercy on the submissive disciple. But you have to see, the Guru is connected with Krishna. So that faith is there. And then naturally love will arise, because love is the natural position of existence. To live means to love. Actually, to live means to love. That's because Krishna is the receptacle of all love. He is Prima Swarup. He is the very form of love. And the Gurus connect with Krishna. They give knowledge of Krishna, because we're all mad. We're all insane. And we don't know what to do for our own proper benefit. So we have to be trained where to go. And we're running to the witch instead of running to Krishna. We're the Pishachi. Sometimes Maya is compared to Pishachi, a witch. So we're attached to the witch who sucks our life and gives us the wrong understanding. So the Guru has to direct us. Go this way, don't go that way. Keep away from that witch. Go to Krishna. Then naturally, if we go to Krishna, then loving feelings will arise. It's natural. Guru speaks Shastra to direct us. Srimad Bhagavatam is unique in this regard, or superlative in this regard, because all the Shastras point to Krishna. But particularly by hearing Bhagavatam, which, although the Shastra is Krishna, non-different from Krishna, particularly Bhagavatam, is Krishna. So, yasyang vaishuryamananam Krishna, Krishna, paramapurusha. Bhaktir utpadyate pungsam shokamoha bhayavaha. By hearing Bhagavatam, then naturally feelings of love, bhakti, will arise in the heart for Krishna, who's the Supreme Person. And then all material lamentation, illusion, and fear will be dispelled. So gurus in Krishna consciousness, they are different to gurus in Mayavad consciousness, or Buddha consciousness, or yoga consciousness, materialistic or bodily, kundalini yoga consciousness, or musical instrument consciousness. They give us the message of Bhagavatam. And automatically one gets knowledge and renunciation and Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam. What is the next word? Ekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyate Atra Jnana Viraga Sahitam Naishkamyam Avishkritam Tat Srinvan Supatan Vicharana Paro. Paro Bhakti Vimuchen Naraha. Thank you. So Srimad Bhagavatam is, see, the guru needs gurus also. Disciples can also act as gurus. Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very dear to the Vaishnavas, particularly this way. It's the spotless Purana. All these Shastras are Krishna, but there are spots. Krishna is everywhere. Why don't we see Krishna? Because Krishna, to our vision, is covered by Maya. We don't see Krishna. We see this is something for my enjoyment. This is something not. This is something which acts against my enjoyment. And we think in terms of sankalpa vikalpa. What do I like? What don't I like? Here is a nice little baby. Oh, very nice. Here is a baby snake. Kill it, because it'll grow to be a big snake, and even as a baby might kill you. So we see, this is very nice baby, human baby. Although I don't know in traditional culture if the high class people would think the chandala's babies, they wouldn't even see them. Adrishya as well as being asprishya, unseeable. Anyway, we think in terms, what is nice for me, what is not nice for me, and even the Shastras, the various Shastras, they're pitched at various levels for people at various levels of consciousness, because not everyone's ready to see Krishna or accept Krishna. But when one is on the level of Paramahamsa, or when one aspires to be a Paramahamsa, or when one comes to the level of being fit to be a disciple of a Paramahamsa, then one can start to hear and appreciate Bhagavatam. Paramahamsa means Vaishnava. Nirmatsaranam satam, who's not cultivating enemies in terms of I, me and mine, who acts as guru just to help others come up toward Krishna. So by hearing Bhagavatam, there is knowledge therein, Knowledge, who am I? Krishna gives that in his beginning of his teachings in Bhagavad Gita. That is developed further. Gita ends Savadhaman Parityajya. Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Surrender to me. Only giving up everything else. And Bhagavatam begins that the Kaitava Dharma is completely rejected here. Pra-ujita. Completely rejected herein. So it begins where Gita ends, Bhagavatam begins. The teachings comes up to the next stage. So in Bhagavatam gives us more knowledge. In brief, Krishna says, Dukhalayam Ashashvatam in Gita. Everything here is temporary and miserable. Those topics are also given in Bhagavatam in great detail. So that we to even begin to hear Bhagavatam, then there has to be a sense of, to actually hear Bhagavatam, there has to be a sense that I don't belong to this world, I belong to Krishna. This world has nothing to offer me. But then when we hear Bhagavatam, that feeling will be solidified. But that is not in and of itself the essence of Bhagavatam, to be detached from this world. We find right at the end of Bhagavatam that Shukadev says, I spoke all these stories of kings just to add some opulence and to inculcate a sense of detachment from this world, but it doesn't constitute the essence. So one will get knowledge of one detachment from this world, but then, okay, I don't belong to this world, so what's there? What is there anything beyond that? The Mayavadis say no. The Buddhists say there's nothing beyond that. The Mayavadis say there is something beyond it, but not much. It's just one thing. Just one. Om. Nothing more. But the Vaishnava gurus, they point us to the world of infinite variety, all centered on Krishna. Akhila, Rasamrita Murti, all the rasas, Krishna, everything in Krishna, and it's all expanded into innumerable devotees and innumerable pastimes and innumerable exchanges. Now the Guru points us to that world. Beyond this world. Being detached from this world, that's just normal. Everyone in this world is insane, but if one becomes sane, then he won't desire to enjoy this world. But then what's beyond? Is there anything beyond? It's just merging some light, boring. There's beyond. So Bhagavatam points us to that. And then naturally the feelings for Krishna will arise. Loving feelings. So love for Guru, that will naturally arise as one surrenders to Guru, and as one surrenders to Guru, opens the heart, and then there's bhakti comes in, Krishna's mercy. Feel the natural feelings for Krishna awaken. So the love will automatically come, but at least it should be understood. It said one must love one's guru. It should be understood that this is not just some formal relationship. You study and you go away. But here you study and you never go away. You remain forever. It's a big commitment, no doubt. But we have to remain forever at the lotus feet of Krishna. We have to go to Krishna. And Krishna sets things up in such a way that what's the word when you give the responsibility to someone else? Delegated. No, there's another word I'm thinking of. The outsourcing. I can't think of it just now. So Krishna, he gives. All right, there's this group and that group, and you serve in this group. But that doesn't take away from our relationship to Krishna, with Krishna, but it adds to it more. Just like, for instance, in Mahabharata, we hear a lot about Krishna and Arjuna when they're together fighting during 18 days of battle. But there's so many other stories we don't hear, not only on the battlefield, but off the battlefield. And Arjuna comes back with Krishna. Someone is washing their feet, preparing their bath, and seeing Krishna and Arjuna. And for them, their heart is completely full with feelings of respect, and they get the news, what happened on the battlefield today? And you never know. They may be in doubt all day. Is he going to come back or not? Sometimes the warriors don't come back. One day Abhimanyu didn't come back. They come back, and you know, if he's come back, he's not just come back, but he's done so many heroic deeds. Otherwise he wouldn't come back. He'd be dead. You either Atova prapshasi swargam jitva va bhokshase mahim. Do or die. Yeah. So there's so much appreciation for Arjuna in relation to Krishna. There's no question of Arjuna not in relation to Krishna. So they're all devotees, those who are washing Arjuna's feet and preparing his meals and this. So many things they're doing, but it's all in relation to Krishna. And their love for Arjuna does not diminish their love for Krishna. It increases it. And their service to Arjuna is their link to Krishna. That's in the Leela. That's in the pastimes. But that's there in the spiritual, in every aspect. And in the material world, we are enjoined to serve gurus. And naturally there is love. Someone's in the family of Arjuna. They're whatever they're doing. They're looking after his horses. They're bringing supplies or whatever they may do. And whoever does that, the barber who cuts Arjuna's hair and trims his nails and all this kind of thing. Well, that was done by the barber's father for Pandu, and then it'll all these whole generations. Kula Dharma Sanatana. So they feel very happy in that. This is my position, to serve in this way. And they know that it's all connected to Krishna, because the whole family, it's all connected to Krishna. So in this, that's in the Leela, but in the guru-disciple relationship, we have a whole sampradaya. We're linked. What is our link with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur? Of course we're linked with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Well, how can you be linked? You never saw him. No, but we're linked because we're in the sampradaya. He's our guru. We take his teachings even now. We hear his teachings, maybe not directly. I mean, maybe not exactly that we're reading from his teachings, but we know it's all the same teachings. It comes down, as Srila Prabhupada often said, that what Krishna spoke to Brahma, Brahma spoke to Narada, Narada spoke to Vyas, Vyasa spoke to Madhva. It's the same message. And it's come down through so many gurus, and we also have our guru who represents all these great personalities, and he might not be, unlikely he's going to be on the level of Brahma, Narad, Vyas, Madhva. It's unlikely he's going to be on that level, but just to represent such great personalities is in itself great. You don't think it's a small thing to represent that. And it's not a small responsibility to be a disciple, because one has to go on representing that but at the present time, and then one has to represent that in future to his own disciples. So it's not a small thing. So the bona fide disciple should be inquisitive to understand transcendental subject matter. He must not search out faults among good qualities, and he should no longer be interested in material topics. His only interest should be Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the meaning of discipleship in Krishna consciousness, that our only interest is Krishna. There may be, due to being in this material world, there may be, or will be, various peripheral interests also. One has family, society, and so many things. But clearly, one's goal of life must be Krishna, understanding Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All right, I plan to speak on the disqualifications of a disciple as given in Hari Bhakti Vilas, but I didn't get that far in my sheet. I only got this far, and there's another 1.5 pages, so I'll finish there for now. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. Just a few words got expanded. So increase the ocean of bliss by spreading Sankirtan. That's disciples in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya. Expanding the ocean of bliss by Sankirtan. Everything is in the holy name of Krishna. So what do you need a guru for? Ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He also accepted a guru. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Samaveta bhakta vrinda ki jai. Vancha kalpa tarupyascha kripa sindhu bhivacha. Patita anam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnavas who perform amazing activities such as staying awake in class after being up all night doing service. Congratulations. Not all of you are up all night, but some were for quite a lot of the night. That's quite an achievement. Fit to be guru. Hare Krishna. Yeah, okay. Hari Bol. Gaur Hari Premanande Hari Hari Bol. This talk is officially over. Unofficially, you can go on as you like. Go on discussing Krishna consciousness. Only one garland here? What happened to the others? I didn't notice what happened.